We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in, Wednesday edition, Oxford Exxon Podcast. Blue Sky Live here with you today. We will discuss Ole Miss's 13-9 win over Austin Peay last night. Rebels give up four in the first, four in the ninth, and still win by four. So the epitome of a midweek game there going on in Oxford between the Rebels and the Govs last night.
How late were you there?
No, I was really proud of the effort. I looked up in maybe the second inning, and we were on pace for about a 4-hour and 45-minute game, and that bad boy got over in 3 hours and 8 minutes, something like that.
Oh, okay.
We really kind of picked it up. I am eternally grateful to the Ole Miss bullpen. They threw seven scoreless from the second through the eighth to stem it a little bit there and to move us along. So we'll hit that a little bit. A couple thoughts from that. Not a ton, but a couple things. I was not going to write a game recap, so I was trying to find some actual angle to something that might matter from that game last night, Ole Miss moving to 18-8. Then they have Kentucky this weekend. We're going to listen to Lane Kiffin's press conference here in a few minutes to not necessarily open the show, but here in a second, because we can play off that with a couple different things. Also, we've got an interview with Keith Carter up on the network. I spoke to him yesterday. That's a Blue Sky Extra that you can listen. So we're going to kind of dovetail into that conversation. We're not going to go listen to it. I'm not giving it all away, but we are going to talk about a couple things from that conversation today as well. So all that and more coming up on the episode. Blue Skies, they're out in Mississippi, up now on I-55, throughout North Mississippi as well. And then they got the Blue Sky Epicenter there in Macomb, still doing their grand opening this week. If you're in the area, if you buy a biscuit sandwich, you get a free coffee, free water. You've got $5 chicken on a stick, $5 half chicken that's smoked, so healthy or unhealthy, whichever way you want to go there.
Darth Vader's there.
Darth Vader.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot coming. One's one day, one's the next. I'm not sure if the participation day's there, but
who would win, Darth Vader versus Bigfoot? Darth Vader, right?
Well, he has
a saber.
A saber. So I'm assuming. But if Bigfoot ever got his hands on you,
yeah,
it's over.
It's true.
It's kind of like a cat versus dog situation, is that the cat's pretty quick, and like I'd go, hey, that cat's going to rip that dog to shreds. But if
the dog gets a hold of the cat,
over. Yeah. So something like that. So anyway, Blue Sky there in Macomb, up and down I-55. Today's red beans and rice for the lunch specials across the state of Mississippi and more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line, no hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. Do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest, join on the Campbell Clinic hotline. The Campbell Clinic is in Oxford, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot, ankle surgery, spine, total joint care, pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to campbellclinicoxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, I guess that is a good point. Chewbacca is basically a Bigfoot, and he's right there. So
that's true.
I mean, if we're using counterparts,
Bigfoot might be bigger than Chewbacca, though.
Oh, he's, yeah. We say this like we have seen him and compared.
I said might.
Yeah, sure.
My assumption is that he's bigger than Chewbacca.
Okay.
Because Chewbacca's not particularly big. I mean, like, standing right there next to Harrison Ford, he's not a lot bigger.
You got
than
those people that just search for these things all over the world constantly and dedicate their life to it. Would you rather find Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster?
Oh, the Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster?
How cool would that be?
Okay.
But the Loch Ness Monster is like 300 years old now. I mean,
so he's probably dead.
I mean, that's my guess.
Even if he were sighted back in the day.
Yeah. He's decomposing somewhere at the bottom of
Loch Ness. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Not an adjective. It's a place that he lived.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Are we listening to All Elaine? You got like a segment? What are we doing?
No, I got All Elaine.
Got All Elaine.
All Elaine was pretty good and interspersed throughout.
As much as you can be for a press conference on March 26th yesterday.
No, we did a good job asking about two things.
I'll give
Jake Thompson credit for this. He asked about, well, yeah, I think it was Jake. No, maybe Michael Katz. We'll find out in a minute.
Which question? I listened to the interview.
The Bachelor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We got in on The Bachelor. He likes to talk about stuff like that. And then I asked a big picture question about the transfer portal.
You did.
And even when he got another question, he still came back to answer more of that question.
He likes big picture questions.
Well, I give Kiffin tons of credit for this. I says, if you give him credit for nothing else, and like I give him credit for a whole lot, the guy has benefited greatly from the transfer portal.
He has.
And yet he knows we are spiraling towards something bad. He knows it. He says it out loud. His contemporaries say it. But he is better at saying it. I had a conversation with a national college football guy yesterday, and I kind of scolded him. Not in a bad way, but I said, you guys have a pulpit. You have a voice that I don't have. You've got to stop. And I don't know if you noticed this, Chase. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
He told me I was right. I said, you guys all echo one another. All of you are like, everything's good. Everything's great. College football is awesome. It's so good that everything's good. Cheer. Let's count it down. And I'm like, you're watching something unfold in front of you that is not appealing to the very people that you need to consume your content down the road.
Is it clicking good feelings based, though, more than belief? Is it that people don't want to hear the sky's falling every day, and if we take that away, they're not going to read my stuff, they're not going to care, I'm harming myself?
But it's one
by the conversation.
But I think everyone's beginning to form a consensus that this is one thing. No one's against the players being compensated. In fact, everyone generally is for the players being compensated. I think the players are about to be really compensated down the road. I think they're about to become partners, essentially, with the television networks that broadcast their games. I don't think anybody's against guys having a transfer ability once.
Sure.
Or to transfer when you've graduated, to go to a graduate program at a different place. I don't think anyone's against that whatsoever.
We want structure.
But I think people are like, this complete lack of guardrails is not a good thing.
That's not appealing in anything.
Well, it's
anarchy is not appealing.
It's like Lane said yesterday. There's no world where an NFL player signs a free agent contract in March, then goes to that team, takes money, and then in August goes, no, you know what? I'm going to go, I signed with the Lions. I've decided that I'm not going to honor that agreement. I'm going to keep the money that they paid me, though. They paid me a signing bonus. I'm going to take that money, and now I'm going to go to Jacksonville to play the season. That doesn't happen. It's literally happening in college football. It just happened with Caden Proctor, and it's going to happen again. I'm guessing, based on conversations, there are multiple players who transferred from school A to school B, are going through the spring, took NIL money or whatever we're calling that crap, and now they're going to go to school C to play the season. Do you tell me that's appealing to fans? I'm going to guess it's not. There's no logical part of me that goes, oh,
it's
yeah,
actually
that's good.
That even more than the money, because the money, it's almost kind of like illegal recruiting back in the day. We can kind of ignore that on the playing field. You can't ignore the fact that you don't know who the hell those guys are. They played for Alabama yesterday, or they might play for Alabama tomorrow or whatever. It's two different things. So, I mean, we get caught up on the money stuff, and look, that's coming to a hell of a head too. But the portal is the one that actually creates this from that standpoint. So anyway, let's jump into it. Play lane. Then we'll play lane. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about it.
My cooking starts off.
All right. So a lot of work out there, and continuing to move people to different places and work different situations. So really pleased with how hard our guys have worked. Very competitive atmosphere out there, and guys working back from injuries and pushing themselves. So really good to see. I've said it before. I do think we have a really, really good roster, by far the best one, but definitely the best one since we have been here. Doesn't mean we'll be a great team, but we do have really talented, especially middle to upper half roster.
What?
You've referred to the talented roster a couple of times. You've obviously been at some places where they had elite talented rosters that went all the way. Where does this roster compare to those rosters?
Well, like I just said, when I kind of caught myself and said, okay, I feel like it's a really talented roster, probably top and middle. It would not be 1 through 85 necessarily, at USC during 34 straight wins, or when left Alabama, I think it was 26 straight wins. Those are the top of programs in the history of football at that point, roster-wise. So we're not there. I don't know that the setup now is different, so that probably is here not going to really happen, that you're going to have maybe that bottom of the third to be as elite as some programs, but you never know. I just don't think history or what even we've been able to do now, is gonna set up for that.
I know it was an option in the bowl season. I think they're kind of talking about it more. Just your thoughts on, would y'all enact the communication between coach and the quarterback in the helmets?
Yeah, I've been part of those conversations for a long time, in SC meetings, and they're usually defensive head coach driven about, hey, we need to have our middle linebacker, like the NFL, have this, and then stop stealing our signals. So it's here, and, we utilize it in practice and our first time getting used to it. I think differently, especially after using it. I think it's really like having a cheat code in Madden offensively. And I don't know that they've really thought defensively of what exactly that means. I think the assumption is just, oh, you talk to the quarterback, but there's really more to it than that, especially the way we run our offense. So without giving too much in that of what it allows us to do with signals, with the whole process, I think it's cheat code offensively if you do certain things offensively. So, defenses coaches always wanted it, so it's here.
Because obviously you have a lot of veteran productive wide receivers coming back. You added Juice Wells. What do you need to see from guys like Aiden Williams and Caden Lane, some of those younger receivers, for them to break through in that deep room?
Yeah, our guys know, we talk a lot about, like, every situation there's a bad and a good to it. Juice being hurt, some other players being hurt, allows other players chances, and Aiden's been hurt, so he's back a little bit, but Caden's been healthy, and it's allowed Caden to play inside, outside. do a lot of things. And Caden's a really good player and going to be, you know, a really special player here. So really excited about him.
I believe we're going to get him in a second, but Princely, U-Man and Millen, what kind of stuck out about him to you that made him such a priority for you to get?
You know, we've talked in here, you know, about really the Georgia game, you know, just kind of feeling in that game. I have felt in warmups, but in the game, you know, there was a difference from the size, strength, speed ratio, especially offensive line and front seven on defense. So, you know, as talked about, a big thing was, okay, well, let's really go out in the portal and get guys, because we've had some really good players here, but if you really look at them, a lot of times they've been a little undersized or maybe a little slow. They're not high draft picks, but they've done a really good job, and our coach has done a good job with them. Watching Princely really was like, okay, here's somebody that has really ideal size and length and speed to be a really good player, one that you don't have to say, okay, well, here's how we'd use somebody, you know, to, you know, kind of hide some of the deficiencies, which we've done a lot of here. And so it's really good to have him, and you can see it out there. You know, his length really shows up.
Little bit off topic, but I know you tweeted it out a little while ago, and the news came out today that Jonathan Hess is going to be competing on The Bachelorette. Do you like his odds?
I mean, I don't know. Speaking of odds, I don't know what the odds are that when it came out too that John Mitchell was our receiver at FAU is in the same group. So that's pretty crazy. I knew for a while, but I wasn't supposed to say anything, I guess. But Hess was really excited about it. Actually, Landry, my daughter, kind of like had something to do with how they wrote in his, you know, thing that they turn in, because she was kind of fired up for him. Her and her friends were like, "Yes, you could do this," you know, because they watched this show like last night. There's like 10 of them on my couch. They watched The Bachelor, you know, or Bachelorette in that case. So it'd be interesting. I kind of feel like it's kind of like basketball tournament, you know, or now the playoffs in football. I feel like if he can make it and get some momentum going and get past the, you know, beginning to where people see a lot of him, then I think he's got a chance because his personality. And they asked me this morning, I said, and they said, well, what would it be in the quarterback mean? I said, it's just kind of like his Hessisms, like it's just Hess. So, but I think they're going to need enough time to see that come out.
You may have just kind of answered this, but you have two teenage-ish daughters. How much exposure have you had to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette?
Well, to show my age, I used to have a lot a long time ago, probably when it started. And I outgrew it. And then life kind of comes back around. And so now Landry and her friends, like, they come over, all these freshmen come over, and they're like, I mean, they're on, they come rolling in last night, like, 5 minutes before, you know, like, ready to watch it. So they talk about it, so I see a little bit of it. I've always kind of been annoyed by it because I feel like the competition, like, makes people act different, because now they're like, here's 25 people and they all fall in love with the same guy. Well, that would never happen, but it's on TV, so they want to win and get to the final, so they become famous. So that part of it, you know, bothers me because it's unrealistic. Somebody had 25 blind dates. 25 people aren't going to all fall in love, but they do on the show.
And you think some of these people pursuing social media clout over real love? It's very skeptical.
Yeah, because they want to be having the next show. There's like, I don't even care if I win necessarily, but let me cry some more here and say I love you after one date, you know, so.
I'll be the buzzkill and ask a football question, but seeing Javonte out there, it feels like he's kind of added some size and getting Daquan out of the portal. How do you kind of view right now that tight end room?
Yeah, I think that that's like what we talked about when we say like the different parts of the roster, and the goal to be really good is, you know, to have deeper positions. So whether it's Javonte adding size and, you know, coming into his second year, or adding portal, helping an experienced player, I think led the ACC in tight end catches maybe even. So That's really good, obviously, and that's a key to me becoming an elite team that stays there instead of like, oh, you have a run 1 year and then you're back down for 2-3 and then maybe again, you know, is to have depth like that, because you're going to have seasons where things don't go your way and you get some injuries and some bad breaks, and in order to survive those, you better have depth.
A year ago, the spring portal wasn't as active as, I guess, the winter portal or whatever term you use for December, January. That was before unlimited transfers and stuff. There's some coaches around the country that are saying they expect this to be a really active portal, for lack of a better word. Do you anticipate the same? Not specifically with your program, but just in general?
I do. Obviously, because they can transfer multiple times. And I mean, here again, just a really stupid system, but hey, good for the players, maybe. I mean, it's good for them financially. I don't know that it's really good for them. They know they can leave anytime, and whenever something goes wrong, they're just going to run no matter what. But I think what you're going to see, I mean, I said this when they first started this, you're going to see people, maybe it just happened with a high-profile player, that I'm going to go somewhere in January, I'm going to get their money, I'm going to have never played a down as a transfer, and I'm going to go back in right after spring ball into the portal and go somewhere else and get their money. So, I mean, you can say, yeah, good for the players, but is it? You know, it's good financially for them, but is that really good for college football and necessarily them? That, like, you've created a system, so you can't really blame them. You've created a system that you can go just keep getting money basically at the end of every semester somewhere else and switching spots as many times as you want. You know, let me go try out this school and take this spot and, you know, make a deal with their collective. And then I'll go try out this one. If it doesn't, you know, I don't get as many balls as I want, or it doesn't go my way, that's not good. And I think you are going to see that. I think you're going to see players that just signed in January that are going to go back in having taken the money, which is fine, and go another place and never played there. And it's not because necessarily they had a terrible spring. It's just because the system allows that.
Is there anything measures you take to try to limit that or prevent that from happening to you guys?
No. I mean, I've brought it up at meetings when they first went down this second thing. I'm like, better make something where you got to sign for a year. So all these portal players that after last season go in, at least they sign for 1 year, you know, not one semester without playing in the offseason. You know, would the NFL team, would that happen in the NFL? Hey, go sign, you know, in the offseason after the season and get a contract and get paid. And then before you ever play, go somewhere else.
Coach, with all the new additions up front, how do you balance creating competition with also building continuity with the offensive line group?
Sorry, I was still in line. Because, again, I'm saying on the last one, I have these rants on this thing, but because it's really a system. It is. Now, we're going to utilize it, you know, just like the player uses. I'm not mad at the player. They're going to utilize the system. We're going to utilize it and make the best roster that we can, but it's not good.
So with all the new additions up front on the offensive line, how do you balance building creating competition with also building continuity?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we moving them around to try to find, not just like everybody wants to find the best five, but really to make sure that as injuries happen, different things happen in games or rotations, that there's some guys that can play multiple spots and they get used to that. So we're not as much focused on the continuity right now. That's, in my opinion, more of a fall thing. This is more just getting guys used to playing different spots and used to our system.
Good deal.
All right.
Was Ole Miss football coach Lane Kiffin speaking to the media there. Several things that I want to touch on, so we'll do that after a quick break. First, tell you about the Ole Miss Athletics Foundation. The spring sports underway. Single game baseball tickets now on sale. Obviously, Ole Miss hosting Kentucky this weekend for 3 games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that football season ticket donation renewal deadline coming up March 31st, just 4 days away. So if you want to get your priority points up for seat or parking selections, call the foundation, 662-915-7159. For further information, that's givetoathletics.com. That's G-I-V-E-T-O, athletics.com.
Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are some of the questions that can only be answered with the Personalized Retirement Income Plan. Andrew Segoe with Segoe Wealth Management specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting and see what they can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. Brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, but same great people, products, and services. It's going to start warming up soon. When it does, you want to make sure that air conditioner is ready to roll. Get in touch with them at Comer or Southern. It's Comer if you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, 662-801-1777. It's Southern if you live in the Memphis area, North Mississippi, Hernando, South Haven, that area. Get in touch with them, 662-429-4429. The College Corner is in Oxford now. If you're coming up this weekend for the Kentucky Series, stop by the College Corner right off of Sisk Avenue in the Oxford Commons. More than 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear. Plenty of parking available. Their staff will have you in and out, ready for Swayze in no time. Check them out also at collegecornerstore.com. And we're brought to you by Argent Wealth. Call Argent Wealth's 401k advisory services team today. They'll conduct a complimentary, no-obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Argent Wealth on Blue Sky Live, the Oxford Exxon podcast. Get 10% off your first year's fees. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. Just get in touch with him. If you're planning a special trip that you want to create a lifetime of unique memories, give him some parameters, give him a budget, and he'll give you some options. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or Jay Edwards at RegencyTravel.net.
So, several different things there. I guess roster transfer, I mean, that's the most apt thing to what we're currently discussing right now. That
JM asked a question. He says, why is Lane still harping on this? Okay, I'll tell you why.
First, he was asked.
He was asked. I think he was glad he was asked.
Sure.
No, for the record, no one told me to ask. That would be the last person they'd tell. But this is something coaches are talking about amongst themselves. The burnout is off the charts. I know fans don't want to hear it.
Cool.
They're exhausted. They don't really know where this is going. You can't even prepare for you can't properly prepare for a season because you don't know what's going to happen April 15th. You might lose 20 dudes on April the 15th without seeing it coming. You know everyone's tampering. You're tampering. You don't like the tampering. I think the coaches would all quit tampering if there was a way to eliminate the tampering. They hate it. It's stupid. And this is my failure. I should have asked one more follow-up question. And I was trying to think of how to word it, and I couldn't kind of come up with the words right. And so I didn't do it. And then the guy next to me asked about the offensive line. And from that point, we were done. Do you worry? I mean, Lane Kiffin notices fans. He spent the first couple of years here kind of cajoling fans to come to games, be there, stay there. Not just at your program, but in general. Do you worry that this is going to turn off a percentage of the fans where they won't go to games? They'll be less engaged. And over time, maybe not during his career, but maybe in the next career for the next generation of coaches, the gravy train that is there today won't be there any longer. I had this same conversation I had with someone. You know where I'm going with this. There is this assumption, and it's conceited, really, arrogant. oh, well, football's king now, so it will always be king. Football's king today. It'll always be the king. Chase, when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s, Major League Baseball was on a par with the NFL.
No, boxing was big.
Boxing was huge. It wasn't that long ago. I was an adult. Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, those kind of things, those were must-watch television. People paid good money to watch that. Bars were packed to watch that. People talked about that. That was on the cover of the magazines. There wasn't a bigger person in sports when I was a kid than Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, even some of the other guys, Ken Norton, George Foreman, Larry Holmes, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns, Michael Spinks. Those were household names. If I put a gun to your head right now and said, who is the welterweight champion of the world, you would just go, end it.
Yeah.
Give me a minute to say my goodbyes.
Yeah.
Things do change. Because football is king today does not guarantee that it will be king in 30 years. It just doesn't. That's not how things work. But in the college game, this unlimited transfer thing is it's so negative in so many different ways that a coach like Lane Kiffin, who has benefited from it, in the same 10-minute press conference calls it stupid and shitty.
He did. Leon Edwards, by the way, is the UFC welterweight champion.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's UFC.
That's so UFC.
Boxing. Yeah, my bad.
UFC's bigger than boxing now.
Mario Berrios is the boxing champion.
We probably could get him on the podcast.
You think so?
Probably.
You think Mario would come on?
He might.
It wouldn't be a no, for sure, would it?
They'd listen.
I mean, you're like, I got 9 o'clock on Tuesday. Why not?
I got 10 minutes. Oh, we can tape it whenever.
That's true.
Can you hop on a Zoom at any point?
Yeah. Just got a few questions. Thanks. Look. I mean, listen to Keith. I asked that question yesterday. Hey, fans don't know the uniforms. Are you just counting on, you know, they're only cheering for the laundry, don't know the players, whatever? He goes, yes, absolutely. You worry about it every day. How to keep people engaged, what it looks like, how you move forward, donor fatigue. A term that we didn't use 3 years ago and suddenly is in the vernacular and the lexicon every day.
Yeah, everywhere, not just Ole Miss.
No, everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it plays, and I'm not changing the subject, it plays into the fact that when you listen to Keith, and I'm promoting our other interview here, listen to it, because I'm not giving everything away. He doesn't say it's a matter of if revenue sharing. He says when revenue sharing.
Yeah.
And then what happens with the collective and everything else? Because here's the deal, too. And we do this a lot, and we're not as to blame as most people, but all media are to blame in some ways. We use this revenue sharing term as this blanket term that means one thing, and that's complete crap. There are 100 different ways that revenue sharing could or would work. That's what we're arguing is, okay, what does it actually look like? Because everyone in this utopian thought says, oh, revenue sharing, meaning you're going to take a number and you're just going to equally divide it to all the world. That is not what is going to happen. Well, like, I didn't ask him this, but it's kind of like the employee thing. Is all these players go, hey, we want to be employees. No, you don't. Because the school is going to charge you for meals. They're going to charge you to use the weight room. You're an employee. You're getting hit with every fee just like I would if I'm paying for crap at my place.
You're going to have a deductible on your insurance?
One of my best friends is an attorney for the Saints. They charge them for all kind of crap in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, hey, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on in.
What you need?
Outside trainer? Yeah, you're paying for that. We're not.
Sure.
Healthcare?
Yeah. You're an employee.
Mm-hmm. So, look, this thing, we are in we're in a 24-month transitional period, but we're in like a 90-day transitional period because of the portal in April. We see what the hell this looks like. Because, look, guys, there's not even the SEC versus SEC thing anymore. That is over. Like, it's not like you
is
can
that only, right?
Oh, yeah. Keith told me yesterday it's NCAA rules now. You can go inside the league now, wide open.
So some cat
free reign.
So some cat going through spring in
Jalen
Florida.
Milroe could transfer to Tennessee in April if he would like. I'm just using an example.
That'd be wild, but not good.
Well, and here's the deal too. You could talk. There are some players out there. We said, what about this? Hey, I mean, Louisville rated Ole Miss's portal class a little bit there at the end for now. But who says we don't go, hey, look, I know we're going to grab four of you guys from this school, okay? We've been tampering. We've been doing all this. We met at the IHOP. We're going through the whole process. I want you to get in the portal, but do me a favor. I'll give you an extra 10 grand if you don't get in the portal to the very last day. Because then they can't recover and go get anybody else.
Oh.
They can't tamper at that point. So we're going to get you and harm them because they're inside the league with us.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri, whatever. Hey, here's an extra 10 grand. Be a scumbag. What's your price? And somebody would have a price.
Oh, for sure.
Somebody would have a price. Now, Lane talks about it because he is frustrated every day. And look, if he doesn't talk about it, he's one of the few that gets clicks no matter what he says.
Yeah.
It keeps the conversation going for other people to go, oh, yes, it is stupid, and you play. Because the college football media, back to what you said, is so head in the sand, yes. It will ignore it, that if you shut up and ignore it, it just goes away. Because they're not going to talk about the negatives to it.
If you were watching and you watched his body language as I was asking that question, he was completely receptive to it. There was no part of, because sometimes people will ask him like a depth chart kind of question and you can almost see the soul leave. You know what I mean? He just kind of checks out. He's physically there, but
well,
he's
no longer there. Well, as somebody said in the stream, he asked himself a question.
Yeah. Well, he was talking and there was a pause and I think he thought I was going to ask a follow-up.
Yeah. So he decided to go ahead.
And my follow-up was probably not exactly where he was going.
So he just went with it.
But he kind of went back to it. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm not done. I want to say more. And I think Lane knows because of his personality,
yes,
and because the media is as enthralled with him as it is. And look, he's great in these press conference settings when you ask him these kind of questions. So it's not a criticism at all. But I think he knows there's a responsibility to others in his field.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Speaking of the other part, we're going to have to do a watch party for The Bachelorette now, aren't we? On opening night.
Sure. I'm in.
I know. I'm just thinking out loud. Sorry.
Ginger says, if he can't find a woman in Oxford, I have questions. I understand that. And you know this, Ginger, so I'm just talking in general. This is...
it's a larger play at hand here.
This is a much bigger play than having a happy Friday. You're saying
that Jonathan is not in it for the right reasons? Or exclusively for the right reasons?
I am saying that. I will not say that there's no part of him that is seeking love. But I will say that is not the only motivation. He is also seeking stardom.
The problem, Doris, is the fix includes doing something to look negative toward the athlete, and no one is willing to do that.
Everyone's terrified of it.
No one's going, no, shut up.
In large part because some of the national media are all in on this, no, the players should have no limitations.
And look, this is not crazy educated. It's semi-educated. I do think eventually we end up with two leagues. I think Charlie Baker was onto something, even though not in the way that he phrased it, because the NCAA can never just be honest. They have to couch everything on this utopian, benevolent, whatever thing. But in general, he had a point if he could just get to it.
Benevolent utopia.
And whatever. I don't know. There's words, but I'm alive and I can't find them right now.
No, it's kind of good.
All right.
The utopian thing is the problem. It really, honest to God.
It's that. But it, his the point is right, because what he actually is saying is, look, most of you people are not going to be able to play at the top level, so we're going to make sure you're protected. We're going to give you a championship too. Mm-hmm. And I know the revenue is going to thing is going to suck, and the Big Ten and the SEC is going to find a way to make it happen. And what's going to happen is we're basically going to give every team a salary cap, and you figure out how you want to pay your players. That's up to y'all. Hire a GM, hire a capologist. Who knows what the hell this thing looks like from an admin standpoint?
Oh, you think there will be a cap?
Well, there will be a revenue sharing cap.
Sure, because there will only here's the percentage of revenue.
Yeah, welcome to the world. Yeah. There is a revenue sharing cap.
Yeah.
Now, are we paying collectives or under the table in addition? I don't know. That's not my problem for now.
Right.
But all those things, it's showing that smaller schools are going to cut sports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ole Miss is not going to cut sports. I believe that. Smaller schools are going to cut sports, or they're going to completely opt out and go, we're just going to kind of get what we can get and do
some
this.
Some schools even bigger than Ole Miss that have bigger athletic programs. And when I say that, I mean they have more sports.
Well, yeah, like, well, Stanford.
They're going to cut sports.
West Coast schools don't have the money that Ole Miss has, and they have three times as many sports.
They're going to cut sports.
They're playing water polo and all this stuff.
Young people are going to lose opportunity out of this. It's coming. And sports that, this is the one that I'm waiting for, sports that don't produce revenue,
mm-hmm.
How the hell do you share something you don't have? It's like me saying, hey, Chase, I'll share some of my hair with you.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would.
No, that is the, that, I mean, that's the joke of the issue. And it's where everybody goes, hey, hold on a minute. There's a big difference in gross and net, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not even in the, they share a noun, but that is the only thing that is similar there. So what are we talking about? Because, and here's the truth too. The schools, once a revenue sharing thing comes into place, and again, Keith R. Carter says it is, it's just a matter of what it looks like and when. And I believe him, is the schools are going to, at minimum, adjust their books as much as possible to avoid some of the money. Come on. It's business. It's real world. You're going to cook your books.
Of course. Better not do it in New York. Letitia James, boy, she'll get you.
I mean, they already do to some extent, but that's... That's where this thing's headed. Completely, I know people are really interested in this, completely opposite, but he talks about this a little bit on the show yesterday, too. Concerts says that starting pretty soon, the hope is to put three or four inside the pavilion per year at that level. So you're talking, you know, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000.
You know who's coming?
Not, no.
Okay. Kind of.
Maybe. And then... They are going to continue the Vaught Hemingway Stadium series every April. They're getting very close to announcing their 2025 act for next year. Oh, obviously, cool. Morgan Wallen's doing this April again.
Yeah.
And you're getting a huge name there. It's country in 2025 again. There are only so many stars who can fill up a 60,000, 65,000, 70,000 seat stadium. So, I mean, it's not like Schlump down the street's getting signed. Like, people are going to be excited because you got to put 60,000 people in this joint.
So you're saying it's not going to be some of the acts from like...
Well, yeah, like, I mean, I've heard people go, well, I mean, what if we're really disappointed? It's like, they're not going to grab the guy down at Proud Larry's and going, hey, come play the stadium. I mean, there's lots of stars who, one in particular that's got some connections to Ole Miss that said, we're not a stadium act anymore.
Just not big enough.
Yeah, so that's just not where the career is at this point.
Who are the acts that are big enough to fill a stadium?
Well, it's a lot of country people. It's Stapleton. It's Strait. It's, you know, I don't even know if like a Zach Bryan is necessarily a stadium guy, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's no more than 20 people, maybe.
Right.
I mean, taking out the Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift, whatever classification, well, sure. Obviously. But people that make sense to the area, I mean, 20 people? It's a guess.
Ed Sheeran would fill up Bald Hemingway, right?
You think? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, how many out there could? Well, yeah, Drake will fill that bad boy up. Sure. I mean, yeah, why not? But in general, yeah, that's what that looks like. So they are going to continue that. The pavilion is a big deal because I've long thought, and this has nothing to do with my conversation with Keith yesterday, it's a good venue. It's just as easy to get to Oxford as it is Tupelo. Why can't the pavilion several times a year steal the acts that go to the Bancorp South Center or whatever they call it now, mm-hmm. or the Lander Center in South Haven?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. The pavilion would be a much better venue for a concert than the Lander Center.
For sure.
So, and I know that's right by Memphis, easy to get in and out, all this stuff. But still, I just think that is something that actually, whatever. And look, it's not a ton of revenue, but it's revenue. And right now, you're doing anything. If something has the ability to make several hundred thousand dollars to $1 million, done. Done. We'll figure it out. Done. I mean, anything that makes a dollar, and you mentioned those Olympic sports, their coaches are probably pretty safe right now because you're just not spending additional money to do something that doesn't make money to begin with.
The 44 most anticipated tours of 2024.
Okay.
Adele?
Yeah, she would fill it up, Neil. Congratulations.
Yes. I'd go see Adele.
100%.
Alanis Morissette.
Sure, they're staying power there.
All Days, it's a European.
Okay, I don't know.
Bad Bunny.
Yep.
Belle and Sebastian. Don't know. Billy Joel. Would you go see Billy Joel?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Blink 182.
Jeffrey would be buying every T-shirt imaginable and just...
Bob Dylan. Bruce Springsteen. Burna Boy. Would you go see Burna Boy?
I don't know who that is.
Danny Brown. I don't know who the hell that is. Destroyer. I don't know who that is either. DJ Shadow. Drake and J. Cole.
Okay.
They do it. Fall Out Boy. Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Foo Fighters.
100%.
You think Foo Fighters would fill up Walt Hemingway?
Oh, yeah. Because, again, you're not... It's what they showed you with Morgan Wallen last year was you're not pulling in from Oxford people or Ole Miss people. It's literally a concert event for the state or the area. I mean, so yeah.
Green Day.
I mean, it's one of the positives to hosting concerts is people who aren't Ole Miss fans and who have frankly never been to Oxford are coming in and seeing the town and the school and doing everything associated with it.
Jamila Woods. You ever heard of Jamila Woods?
I don't think so.
Me neither. Jane Remover and Quantic.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Ever heard of Madonna? Madonna would fill up.
You think?
McCluskey. It's a Welsh rock band. McCluskey. I don't think they'd fill up Bald Hemingway.
Okay. No.
Military Gun.
I'm.
Lauryn Hill. Would Lauryn Hill fill up Bald Hemingway?
Ooh. That's a good question. Probably.
I know, man. Beats me. I could.
I think.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson said people drove from Tampa to go to the concert because they're just picking one around the country to go to.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Rolling Stones.
Okay,
of course.
Yeah. Because some of this with some of those dudes is you're trying to get, you know, you don't know when the last tour is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Stevie Nicks. Would Stevie Nicks fill up Bald Hemingway?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, of course.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Good luck.
Tyler Childers. I don't know who that is.
Country singer.
Yeah. U2. Yeah, U2. Supposedly U2's concert at the Sphere in Vegas is just awesome.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Supposedly just incredible. That's it.
Okay. I mean, look.
We never know where this thing's going, guys.
It shows you it's an athletic department revenue stream. It's concerts. You have the facility, so find a way to make it happen. Yeah, Sammy, the way I understand it, most of them are negotiated 12 to 18 months in advance for the big shows like this.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean, it's actually a little late to be announcing this, frankly, but they got time. It sounded like it was done. I mean.
For next April.
Yeah, because you got Morgan this April and then next April. But in the meantime, I think there is a push for the pavilion to finally, because it should have been the whole time.
Yeah.
That was a failure. You know, Brad Paisley opened it up. It was the very first thing in the pavilion back in the day. And then it just sort of went away.
Yeah, that was failure.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think there's something too, getting the, some of the older people that still are touring that are mega popular, that you increase the attendance because people are going, hey, I don't know, this might be my last chance.
Sure.
I mean, that's what happens right now with George Strait, Garth Brooks, that kind of thing, where you go, hey.
I mean, the scenes from the Garth Brooks stuff, like when he went to Baton
Rouge. I mean, I was trying to see Reba McEntire last year because it was just last time, and I went, sure.
Yeah. I'm going to see Hootie and the Blowfish.
Are you really?
I am.
Where are you doing that?
Rogers.
Okay. You big Hootie fan?
I love Hootie.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay. No, seriously?
Seriously.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're kidding, but
no, I'm totally serious. It was a Christmas present.
Best one you've been to was Coldplay.
Coldplay was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've said this many times. People are like, why do you like Coldplay? I didn't like them before I saw them in concert. They were, their show was, it was terrific. Hall & Oates was really good.
Hall & Oates would be good.
It was good.
It would be good.
Listen, the people that, their musical tastes are what's cool, I'm sorry. I like what I like. It is what it is. I like Hall & Oates. I could listen to Hall & Oates right now driving down the road.
The older bands like that, and I've probably told this on the podcast, the only one that I've ever done where I went, you guys have got to hang it up because you're so far past your prime in every way, was Cheap Trick.
Oh,
okay. I saw Cheap Trick in concert one time, and I went, oh, my God. They were with Journey and Heart. Journey and Heart were good. I was all in. But
as a kid in North,
but Louisiana, Cheap Trick, woo.
You know, Monroe did not exactly get the AX. So we saw 38 Special, Night Ranger.
Hey, Sister Christian, look. Hey, whoa, now.
Rick Springfield.
I'm not going to lie. Sister Christian came on yesterday. I might have just hit it up a couple notches. Like, it actually did. It came on when I was driving back yesterday.
So. Chicago actually came to Ruston.
Did they really?
They did. They were good.
Well, I mean, Three Dog Night played a spring game at Bald Hemingway Stadium.
Oh, is that right?
It was the only concert at Bald Hemingway, because it's not really a concert, because they played like two songs that, or three songs. They didn't really qualify, but Yeah. I think it was Three Dog Night. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure somebody was there, but yeah, 100%.
Oh, I'd love to see Duran Duran.
Oh.
They had a moment, like when I was a kid.
I get it's not a good musical era, but I kind of like 80s music. Like, it just kind of do.
Sure.
Like, I mean, you grew up in it, and I get it.
Yeah, it's nostalgic for me.
Yeah. That's what I still listen to a ton of 90s music.
Of course. Yeah, it's the reason. You're not alone. That's the reason they have their own dedicated station.
Multiple, actually, now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening, is that my age group is getting to that age.
Yeah.
We just keep getting more 90s stations on Sirius XM.
Yeah, I'm seeing
Hootie. Like, they've added Pop Rocks now and all this stuff. It's increasing.
I'm seeing Hootie at the amphitheater.
Okay.
You know, you've been up there, like, you see where the opposing teams days?
Yeah.
Out with that, it's that amphitheater right over there. That's the Top Golf and all that stuff. It'll be.
Okay.
Have a few beers, listen to Hootie outdoors.
All right. It's worst things.
It's worst things, worst ways to spend I think it's a Saturday night.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. We'll hit some kind of sport here in a minute, probably, when we come back from the show. Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. 7 different flavors available for you. They've got their, soy ginger, their most recent option. It's great with hibachi type dishes. Throw it some extra protein, veggies, rice, maybe the New Orleans style barbecue. It is their best seller. The signature is one of my favorites. Get it. Great protein snacks, great lunches, easy dinners when you are on the go with Prime Shrimp. We're going to make it easy for you. We're going to save you a little money. Use code RG, 25% off when you buy 5 pouches or more. They deliver directly to your door. Be within 10 minutes, freezer to plate with Prime Shrimp. So that's code RG, 5 pouches or more, primeshrimp.com.
Brought to you by Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa. It's the perfect place to plan your company dinner, your festive party event. Fabulous food, great craft libations as well. They can accommodate up to 200 guests. For catering or booking information, contact Jeannie 601-421-7147. We're brought to you by Service Specialist. If your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialist can help. It's always free for the candidate. You only pay if you hire a candidate that they send, so you've got nothing to lose. Give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website, servicespecialistltd.com. Get the beautiful, healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. So schedule your appointment today and take the first step toward a better version of yourself. It's CorinthDental.com. Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur looking to diversify? Either way, Andy Ludicky can help. He owns multiple franchises and businesses and uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy, put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free, nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net, or you can call him on his cell, 404-973-9901.
The one other note to the revenue sharing thing, and again, we got plenty of time to talk about it, not happening tomorrow, but Troy Dannon, the new AD at Nebraska, he had his introductory press conference here yesterday, I guess, maybe day before, sometime in there. And he went so far, and it was in the D1 ticker, but I haven't pulled it up to read the exact quote. He basically said, we're going to go ahead and prepare for a budget line item for it. Uh-huh. He went as far as to say that it was quote, a budget line item moving forward for Nebraska at that moment.
Makes sense.
Washington State lost their basketball coach 3 days ago. Yesterday, they lose their AD to Washington.
Yeah.
So it goes from Washington State to Washington there, Pat Chun. Pretty highly respected AD in the country. It is what it is. I mean, you're just picking at the corpse now.
You're at Washington State. You can't say, no, Washington, I'm not coming.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, come on.
That was a lifeline. He saw the Seattle area code and went, whoa, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he answered the phone with yes.
I don't care what you're asking, yes. He might have gone to Washington to be the assistant AD.
Would have had to think about it.
If somebody said, hey, look, how about like AD in waiting, deputy, we need a minute, but we like you. You want to come aboard? Probably.
I'd have to say, give me 48 hours to think about it, for sure.
I know a few fans were frustrated with Ole Miss. Have you seen the fallout over the St. Bonaventure decline in the NIT?
No.
Have you not seen this?
No.
Their AD resigned over it. And their president issued a video apology last night to the entire fan base collective of St. Bonaventure. Not in the fact that they declined, but in the fact that, unlike Ole Miss and a lot of places, they didn't tell the fan base they were going to decline. And when that graphic came out that they had done it, you know, ESPN put the graphic up of all the teams that had said no, Ole Miss, Memphis, whatever. Their fan base still was not aware. Nobody had leaked that or put it out there. And apparently, pissed is not the word.
Wow.
I mean, irate.
Over the NIT?
Yes. Like, heads are rolling over them rejecting an NIT bid. Yeah, you hadn't seen this?
I'm speechless.
I mean, from the AP headline, St. Bonaventure AD Joe Manhurts resigns following questions over decision to not compete in the NIT.
I'm blown away. To say that I'm out of touch with the St. Bonaventure fan base is the understatement of all time, apparently. I can say this now, Keith. Chris got asked about it on Thursday night at the SEC tournament when Ole Miss lost, and you could tell what was coming. We all knew what was coming.
It had been a pretty poorly kept secret prior to that.
Someone came over to me and was like, hey, we're probably going to have a Zoom call tomorrow afternoon, like around 3, just giving you a heads up.
I wonder what that would be about.
Oh, so y'all are turning down the NIT. Yeah. Which I just was given a stare back, like, okay. Yeah. That wasn't even a big enough, like, I probably could have, like, done some, hey, there's some real rumblings here on Twitter or whatever. I was like,
okay.
That wasn't a big, to me, that was kind of like, hey, we're going to wear red Saturday. Okay, cool. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, the president was, I don't have it up front of me, but I watched it this morning. He was like, I understand that ESPN put that graphic out and 16 schools may not have cared, but they're not Bonnie's. And like he was apparently, I mean,
okay,
pissed was not the word there.
I have a new team to hate. That's good.
I'm going to hate St. Bonaventure.
I think I'm going to cheer against St. Bonaventure.
Irony is that, unknown to me, because we do this, we use Dubuque for our normal person that's the 1.2 kids and 3.4 dogs,
mm-hmm.
is when I talk about the NIT, I have used the entire podcast season leading up and going, well, I mean, what do you want to do? Ole Miss to play in a first-round game and lose to St. Bonaventure? Like, I have used St. Bonaventure the entire season with that. But apparently, no, the Bonnies would not have been in that tournament.
Wow. They're serious.
Yeah. What is this?
I have no idea.
Is it high school basketball?
NBA. I had it on NBA TV.
I'm not allowed to be frivolous.
Siri just told me that she's not allowed to be frivolous.
Would you think your boss was playing a joke on you when the president walks in and you're the AD and he goes, hey, sorry, look. Because you didn't tell the fan base they weren't going to the NIT or the fact that we turned it down, you're out. You're relieved of your duties. I mean, you have to look at him and go, hold on.
Yeah. Do you know the Pioneer woman is still going?
Congratulations to her. People love her recipes.
Yeah. I just didn't know she was still kind of
Is Giada still a thing?
I don't think Giada De Laurentiis is still a thing.
Still not a thing? Is Paula Deen still a thing?
No. She had the scandal, remember?
And that was it? Okay.
Yeah, that was it. She was ball game.
I saw Emeril was with the staff at Sola the other day in town.
Yeah, I heard him. Laura saw him on the square.
Yeah. Kids here in school.
Yeah.
I think she's a Kappa with Landry Kiffin. If I'm wrong, some sorority person will correct me.
I think one of Ree's daughters is a Kappa.
Really?
Was a Kappa at Arkansas when Campbell was there. Kappas and the Coyotes at Arkansas, it's a big rivalry.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Bloodthirsty.
Yeah, people ask me like questions about sports there, and I'm like, I don't know, but ask me about sorority wars, and I'll fill you in.
You can.
I'll let you know what's going on with recruitment.
So,
I'm an insider.
Okay. Ole Miss, real quick, baseball. They beat Austin Peay, whatever, 13-9. The one thing that I took from the game was that Sam Tocoyan was really, really good. The sophomore reliever had a shoulder injury in the fall, missed most of the fall, was pretty slow kind of coming around. He's only thrown 6 innings over 4 appearances, but he hasn't allowed a run. I think only 1 walk in those 6 innings, 1 hit, and that was last night. The way the game flow was going, I know it was a 5-run lead, but Ole Miss was up 10-5 in the fifth. I think the fifth, maybe the sixth. I think the fifth. And Austin Simmons had struck out the side the inning before, but then had gotten into a lot of trouble. Basically, Austin Simmons is having a very difficult time. He's talented as hell, but he's having a hard time controlling his emotions and adrenaline, and he's sort of tiring himself out and going full throttle on every pitch. There's not a lot of ease back to him right now. And he was doing that in his second inning. He walked a guy, maybe hit a guy, had a wild pitch. It was 2-0 with nobody out. Tocoyan came in, got out of the inning, and it was the last kind of last-ditch hope for Austin Peay before Ole Miss put it away. But Tocoyan was really good. And, I mean, Mike said that'd be a really big piece if you could add him now to the bullpen and have another dude. So that's something you look at. I kind of go, okay, that makes some sense. It would definitely help. And then the other thing, and I guess I can find the exact quote, but I asked the question just sort of whatever. I said, how's JT? I didn't even say oblique or anything else. I just said, how's Quinn doing or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay. And then he gave like a really long pause and was like, whatever. And he goes, it's going to be a while or something like that. He goes, it's a while thing or it's going to be a long time. There were 2 sentences there. And I was talking to, I guess, David or Katz or whatever the thing, and I said, it felt like his season might be over. Maybe I'm being hyperbolic there or whatever, but Mike's answer was the body language was really weird off that. And now I've never injured an oblique. I don't know what's involved. I'm sure it's very difficult because it's in your side and there's so much torque and stress when you're pitching. But
I've seen guys in the bigs miss a couple months.
I did not take any positive signs from his comment at all yesterday.
And apparently it's kind of like a hamstring.
It's got to get well.
Where you just can't push it.
Yeah. So it's a very frustrating injury because you're doing nothing for a while.
Yeah. Well, and the whole, okay, I'm going to grind my way. You're just making it worse.
Yeah, you're going to do it again.
Yeah.
So that, and then he I'll use the quote in some content later in the week. He talked about his decision for Maddox and Doyle and moving the thing and whatnot. One of the reasons why he really liked Riley on the Friday was that he's Ole Miss's best pitcher holding runners. So it was Kentucky, and they're some of the Ole Miss's catching issues, that anything they could do to try to offset that a little bit. And then with Doyle, he said, look, guys, he was on a freaking pitch count 2 weeks ago. Like, we didn't want to mess up his rest, move him up a day. He goes, it wasn't even really competitive if he's a Saturday guy. He's like, it was just a kind of a rest issue. And he's like, if you're going to throw Riley, we were running the risk of him having too long off because he threw a Tuesday week ago. So you kind of needed to not push him to Sunday. You needed to get him back out there. And he's like, it was kind of a puzzle they were putting together at that point. So
you're saying it's not as simple as just putting somebody in a spot and go?
I don't think it was as simple. Mike confirmed kind of what you were talking about early in the week about the parity inside the league, because I asked him, we were kind of getting done, and he probably justifiably made fun of me a little bit at first, because I asked him, I said, hey, the first 2 weeks, and then when I said we went back and looked last year too, we just didn't know it at the time, but the home team is winning more than they typically do. Why? And he made some justifiable jokes about, hey, you know, it's only been 2 weeks, but sure, crack report here, let's whatever. I was like, no, it was like, he goes, you know, he's like, I know it's been more extreme. He's like, because I wasn't getting this question last year. Nobody was really picking up on it. He goes, but look, he goes, we can say home environment, and there is some of that. Sure, any sport, you'd rather be at home, sleep in your own bed. He goes, here's the thing, though. He said, everybody is so even that it just takes one little thing to push you, and the home field is what's doing it. He's like, everybody is exactly the same in a lot of ways. He's like, so if it's all even and you're at home versus on road, he's like, that's probably just enough to separate and create a difference. He's like, it's actually probably a credit to the league as much as anything
else. I think so too, completely. Yeah. I told you this. I'll use Auburn, Arkansas as an example. Mm-hmm. They played a series this last weekend. Auburn got one. They got the Sunday game, the Saturday. They played Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to screw it up. They lost one run games on Thursday and Friday. They could have easily won all of those games. And then Arkansas had a lead on the Saturday game.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have easily swept.
Yeah.
I told you this. Auburn's 1-5 in the league. Arkansas's 5-1. I'm using these two teams not because of Arkansas, because this is the best example. Most everybody in the league is 3-3.
Yeah.
So Arkansas's 5-1. Auburn's 1-5. Chase, there's not a hell of a lot of difference between them. They're both really good. I know Auburn's 1-5. I'm telling you, Auburn's good. Auburn's good. I've watched them, and they're good. Kentucky's good. I think Ole Miss is good.
There are 13 teams in the SEC that with the right hot streak and the right draw could go to a super regional.
100%. 100%. Absolutely.
Could win a regional.
Yes.
Maybe I get a little more lucky than that guy or whatever, but Missouri's the only one that's out to pasture.
There are three or four teams that I like better.
Oh, sure.
Because I like their arms, frankly.
And then Florida got hammered in another midweek yesterday. They can't win a midweek game.
They don't care. They don't. Well, what I'm telling you, what they're doing is they're gambling that they have enough bats.
If we go 18-12, you're not going to give a crap what we do.
And enough arms that they can win a regional,
mm-hmm.
and then they're built for a super regional.
Mm-hmm. And in Omaha, you only need two or three anyway. So
right. Well, because to win in Omaha, you got to win.
Yeah.
And then you have time, and now you keep resetting your rotation and blah, blah, blah.
Ole Miss won 10 postseason games to win the national title, and Dylan DeLucia or Hunter Elliott started 8 of the 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but absolutely. The only team in the SEC that I think has no chance at all to win a regional is Missouri.
Yeah.
Now, there's different teams with different deals, and they got to overcome some stuff and all that, but go look at the standings. I mean, everybody's 4-2, 2-4, 3-3. They're all the same. There's just not a lot, and it's frustrating for fans, especially the ones, and I'm not making fun of Ole Miss fans here, just everybody does it, that you're hanging and dying on every game. Every
Arkansas's
inning.
Thing and the reason they're going to win the West is because Hagan Smith's going to go like 8-2 in his 10 starts.
And I think,
so it's 8 wins.
And I think Tigard's going to give them pretty consistent Saturday outings. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't like their offense.
No.
I don't think their offense is world beaters.
And they're not as good defensively as they used to be.
No. Agreed.
Because they used to be damn good.
Well, they were so good up.
Battle, and the kid played second. I can't remember his name.
Dayton Moore's kid.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Battle was a terrific defensive shortstop.
You know, and they've got a couple pieces that are out that are still coming back. LSU's still figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
But LSU's going to get better. They have talent. When you watch their arms take the mound, you're like, well, that dude's got some potential. Yeah, I get it. And when we do this with Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt still has a
you still don't want to see him in a super regional and have to beat Carter Holton. I mean,
no.
So anyway, that was last night. I mean, they won a game.
I think he's right.
Yeah.
I think it's too early to say. Like this, like I think Ole Miss will take 2 out of 3 from Kentucky, but if you told me Kentucky took 2 out of 3, I'm not even remotely surprised, and I don't think it's necessarily an indictment on Ole Miss.
Two things. No, I do not. I do not think Hunter Elliott will ever throw another pitch as an Ole Miss Rebel. One of the stranger cases I've ever seen. And then, yes, once I said it, I thought I'm wrong here. She's a Tri-Delt, not a Kappa, as in the string. Emerald's daughter.
Emerald's daughter.
Yeah, she's a Tri-Delt, not a Kappa.
You're going to have to issue an apology.
Somehow that would be linked back toward something to do with, there'll be something there. Yeah. So, no. Anyway.
You've just pissed people off for months now.
I went through Yo, now I'm doing sororities.
Yeah.
Like I said, the one that never even got out there right before Yo, I mean, oh boy. Yeah, so it's all good. Fine. It is what it is. All right, we'll continue. We'll come back in a second. First, tell you about Northeast Spark. NESPARC service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps. They got their Blaze. That's your fastest one. It's the 1 gig option. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPARK.com. 662-238-3159. Phone service, portal controls, network security, wireless mesh extender, and more. Still the best internet in Lafayette County. That's 662-238-3159.
Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall, upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Two sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails. There's a lot to be offered at Southern Traditions. Horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons to getting your first horse, competing at nationally recognized competitions. It's all there at Southern Traditions. It's also a great venue for corporate outings, reunions, that type of thing. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. I'll have a mailbag up later today. It's brought to you by Art Hayes of Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's International Realty to work for you as a licensed agent and a supporter of all things Ole Miss. Art Hayes can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you, seriously. So call and ask Art how. 612-805-5929 or email art@lakesmn.com.
Podcast is brought to you by GNM Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area in the Upper Med Scene. If your prescription is the same day each month, take care of you. It's easy to transfer your medications. Even McCall, they take care of the rest. I got to just give them a little bit of personal information, and they will have you hooked up, ready to use GNM in Oxford, or again, Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs at 662-236-2222. One thing, and because I tweeted it out this morning, and it's been a very constant question on the message board. Keith did not give specifics, but he talked about how scheduling has essentially halted because nobody has any freaking idea what's coming in the future. So you're not, I mean, he kind of made fun of all ADs, including himself, and said we were always stupid for doing the, hey, let's play Purdue in 2037. But he said even now everybody understands that a year or two down the road is whatever. He said he gave a quote that some matchups are on the books that may not be around in the future. He intimated that announcements were coming shortly as well. We know people from around the country. I fully expect the USC series to be killed. Again, Keith did not say that, but I was DMing with someone who covers USC this morning, and it appears that neither team is overly eager to have the possibility of a non-conference loss when they are playing a Big Ten and an SEC schedule. So,
yeah.
Ole Miss had Wake Forest and SC, and there was no way you were going to play 11 or 10 or whatever in 2025 or 2026. So, you're...
Well, and I think in 2026 there's going to be a 9-game schedule. I don't know that.
Yeah, Keith, yesterday, you can hear it in the podcast, he referred to the decision to play the opposite home and away in 25 as a placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the word he used, was placeholder.
Just a quick punt.
Yeah,
let's just kick it.
And he did say that, and it's referring to a 9-game schedule. Again, he was very careful with words. He did what he should have done. This is not a criticism in any way on how Keith answered the questions, because I thought overall he was really open yesterday. He mentioned something along the lines of, we're going to have a format that makes sense to make sure everybody plays everybody. And what that is a 9-game schedule that puts you inside every other venue in the SEC over a 4-year period.
Yeah.
The way that works, with the way they have it drawn up with the 3-6 model, you visit every single stadium in the SEC, the other 15 places, over a 4-year period.
And so
which
for,
is
so
great.
For an SEC player now, he'll get to play. I mean, he could play 4 different places. I mean, there's only just
think
just,
of the Rubik's Cube of matchups think, that he could pull I mean, off there.
He could play 4 Ole Miss at LSU and then 4 LSU at Ole Miss. How incredible would that be? And then maybe he could go to Alabama and play at Kentucky and then go to Kentucky and play at Alabama. How amazing. What an experience. And 20 years down the road, he could just go to so many reunion days.
Shocked is not the answer here, because it's a lot of money. Kind of state is Kentucky basketball in after announcing he's coming back yesterday?
I'm hoping to do a podcast interview today where I can ask that question to Justin Rowland.
Okay.
Not good. They're not happy.
I mean, Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky AD, I'm sure his mentions are awesome. I have not opened up the tweet. As we normally do at the end of every season, Coach Cal and I have had conversations about the direction of our men's basketball program, and I can confirm he will return for his 16th season as our head coach.
You talked to Keith Carter yesterday.
I did.
I suspect that there's not a lot of difference between Keith and Mitch Barnhart as it pertains to the thought of a 30-something million dollar buyout. This is another one where Andy Staples and company, they're wrong. It's a failure to understand what's really coming. And I love Andy, but I just don't think you can pay $33 million right now for someone to go away. I don't know how you justify that.
You're going to line item a program with paying the new guy and then paying that a $40 million 2 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sure, you break it up and all that.
Just says I can confirm that fans are mad. The family dog is terrified. Yeah. Right now. He's walking around going, hey, when's this tournament thing over? How much longer?
There was no clear replacement. No obvious, hey, go grab him.
Well, they can get anybody they want, but you have to pay for them. It's about money. I mean, look, they could, the list of coaches who would take the Kentucky job. I mean, we could just start and just start naming coaches.
Could you get Mark Few?
Yeah.
You think so?
Probably. But you'd have to pay him a ton.
Oh. You had to Jimbo him.
Yeah. And so now you do what?
Yeah, we're going to put $100 million in our men's basketball program.
And then what if, and I know this is the hard part, what if it's not a Calipari problem? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it is. Don't get me wrong. But what if it's not?
I mean, dude, he went to an Elite Eight in 2018-2019. And since then, tournament canceled, didn't make it. 64-32-64. One win.
I'm Team Daphne right now.
Since 19.
I just want Daphne to be able to kind of navigate her way carefully through the
household.
Yeah, just the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Let this pass. Find a safe space.
When you know the Kentucky fans are struggling with the reality, I guess I was looking up something from Matt Jones or something, and he had people that
Daphne was like, Oakland, yeah. Are you serious? I'm not going to get a treat for a week.
Couldn't even be like Duke or something. Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Is the when you start justifying it, so there were several tweets that they were pointing out. It was like, had we just had a tournament in 2020, that was the Final Four run. It's like, no, Kat, I know the record, but it's not where you are right now as a program. Just saying. You guys are unfair. If we'd only had 2020, it's like, no.
Nah,
no.
That doesn't work.
Well, it was funny because Kyle Tucker, who covers him for The Athletic, he had put Cal in the last 4 years, and he's getting flogged by these people who can't do math. And they're going, you're including 2020, and there was no tournament. It's like, no, one, two, three, four. You missed the tournament one of those years, so that counts. And then now you have won one game since then. I mean, for Kentucky. It's crazy.
It's not good, but this is a financial decision.
It is.
In an unclear financial time when people don't really know what's coming in 2026, what it's going to look like, how much are you going to have to pay? There's this the threat of a settlement that could impact dramatically. So you're just going to pay him $33 million? And hey, next year the buyout drops all the way to $27 million. And the league gets harder.
Yeah, sure.
Because everybody can fix things now.
And Texas and Oklahoma are good.
Yeah. I mean, Texas is really good. Oklahoma was the last team out. They're good. Not getting any easier. Coaching's really good in the league. I mean, I've got a mailbag question about why did the league do so bad? And you know, the answer really is kind of had bad luck. Could replay the tournament and you'd get different results.
I know we've talked a ton about it. We've only got a few minutes left. But I saw a post on the board. Cooley Bird, username, just made it. I know we've talked a ton of women's basketball this week, and we still will because it's captivating. It's kind of interesting in a lot of ways of how it's covered. I mean, even fascinating from the standpoint of I saw two different media outlets that both are somewhat credible, or not very credible, but that completely took different numbers from the men's and the women's to try to justify wins on both sides. And it's like, we just liked them both. Let us just like them both. We watch the men's, we watch the women's, we're good. Quit making them whatever.
Yeah.
But the point is the biggest asset to women's basketball moving forward, if it does continue, again, this is Caitlin Clark making it take off, but if Hannah Dalgo for Notre Dame, if, Paige Beckers, I think, is back for UConn next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Gino yesterday says she's the best player in the country.
Best player in the country.
That's what he said.
So I'm now like, okay, can UConn make the Final Four with? I want now.
Gino kind of did the professional wrestling thing where he started strutting down and went, hold up.
Yeah.
11 rings, 14 rings, whatever I got. Hey.
Yeah, I now want Caitlin to go for like 55 against UConn and look at their bench the whole time. I just sign me up.
So point being, is the biggest asset here, because while every other sport's doing everything we've spent this podcast talking about, they stay 4 years.
Yes.
They stay 4 years.
Yes.
Look, Paige Beckers is back for UConn because she will make more money at UConn than she will in the WNBA next year.
Last night I watched Pelicans Thunder. I don't know if you know who Josh Giddey is.
I do, yes.
His third-year player for the Thunder.
Yep.
He was drafted out of Australia, had a really good rookie year, and then in his second year, his inability to knock down threes began to get exposed.
Yeah.
This year, he was basically starting to play his way out of the finishing rotation because he couldn't make threes. Teams aren't defending him at the perimeter. He went for 25 last night. I think he went 5 for 7, something like that. Don't remember the exact numbers, from three against New Orleans. And as a fan who follows this team, watching him over the last 2 or 3 games begin to shoot the ball well and overcome some of these struggles, that's the fun part. It wasn't that the Thunder won the game or that my team beat their team. It was, hey, look at, like, Carson was down there with me watching, and he's like, look at Josh. He's referring to a player.
Yeah.
He goes, look at Giddey. He's like, man, maybe he can play. Maybe he will spit. Maybe they did the right thing by not trading him. Maybe they will give him a second deal. Yeah, that's my point. When you take that stuff away, you are really making fandom a thin thing. You don't want it to be a thin thing. You want it to be a heartstring thing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the portal, potential visits, the kid from Pepperdine committed to Gonzaga last night.
Yeah.
Ajayi.
Yeah. So. And another name that got mentioned a lot, the kid at UAB, he announced.
Staying.
He's staying.
Big get for Andy. Big keep.
Big keep.
for Andy.
Well, a keep these days is as good as a get.
It's, hey, look, the roster is the roster. A keep's a win.
Well, because going into the tournament, the widespread speculation was that he was gone. Not because he wanted to leave either. That was kind of what Arlane said yesterday, right? It's not because a guy had a bad spring. It's just somebody offers him a bunch more money. And it's Yaxel, I can't think of his last name.
Yeah.
But, you know, the widespread belief was that this guy was the, you know, American Defensive Player of the Year was going to get, you know, really big NIL offers elsewhere that he would just simply have to take. So announcing that he's going to stay at UAB was a win for Andy as much as it was a keep.
ESPN's updated mock draft has Kentucky guard Rob Dillingham, the first college player off the board.
Yeah, I can see it. That's what's killing Cal. The people go, look, you have all this talent, you don't win.
Donovan Klingon from UConn, the second college player off the board.
I was hoping he might fall just a little.
Number 5 to the Blazers. Reed Sheppard at Kentucky, Grizzlies number 7.
Mm-hmm. Who they got the Thunder taking? And where?
What pick do they have?
Well, they got Houston's pick.
Well, Houston has a pick via the Nets. It's not that one, is it?
I don't think so.
Number 8?
Yeah, it could be.
That's Dalton Connect. Oh, no, number 11, Jacoby Walter, Baylor shooting guard.
Oh, yeah, that won't take a shooting guard.
Okay. Ron Holland to the Bulls at 12, speaking of college basketball.
Yeah. So.
Okay. A lot of stuff. Keith, again, interview up. Lane Kiffin, you can watch. If you missed anything, that's in our YouTube stream, so you can go check it out there, as well as linked on the message board. Again, Ole Miss and Kentucky starting Friday. Basketball transfer portal up and running. Ole Miss has pro day today, and then they resume practice, at least from a media standpoint, on Thursday. So we will have coverage there. Appreciate everybody. Talk to you again soon. Take care.